Hello, listeners. This is Quinn, and I just wanted to pop up here at the top of the episode and let you all know why you've got something that looks a little bit different in your feed today. As some of you know, I am a graduate student, and I am in the middle of working on the completion of my capstone project for my time as a graduate student, as well as a number of other term-end projects that are occupying a lot of my time. In addition, there's a lot of stress related to what's going on with the continuing situation with COVID-19, and that includes a recent switch in our production cycle to recording things online where we normally record all together in the same room. The first time that we did a remote recording, we decided to do something a little bit fun to break the ice and make sure that the process went all well, and it basically fits the format of something we might normally release on Patreon. But since I'm slowing down production as I'm trying to just get through here toward the end of grad school, I thought that I would get you something out to release this week. So here you go. I hope that you enjoy this special edition of the Arms of the Tide After Hours special. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Arms of the Tide After Hours special. This is a hot, fresh, brand new installment, quarantine edition. We're putting this out here for you, the listeners, because we are shifting to a remote recording setup, and we want to make sure that everything we're doing is working out, makes good sense, flows together, fits. And the best way for us to do that is to have a recording, pal around a little bit, and see how this whole dynamic works for us recording remotely. So, first question of the show, everyone. How in the hell is it hanging?
Oh, it's hanging. It's hanging real well. I've just been enjoying a wonderful amount of time sitting around my house, not doing anything.
With a baby who is probably very, very lively.
Yeah, well, I mean, as long as some super wings are on, he don't care.
Okay.
But, yeah, been doing great. I started a new farm in Stardew Valley because I don't like Animal Crossing, but I want that pastoral relaxation.
Which farm did you start?
Standard farm.
Every time. You're so boring. I love you.
My other farm was the monster farm.
I guess that's true. You started out too spooky. You started on hard mode like a doofus.
Yeah, I was like, oh, cool, monsters. And then I was like, oh, this just makes things worse.
Yeah, it turns out the monsters in Stardew Valley kind of suck.
Like, I don't want to have a zombie come after me while I'm trying to put, like, truffles in a box or some shit.
Yeah. I like the monsters. I like anything that has slimes.
Slimes are good.
Limes?
No, slimes. S-L-I-M-E. Slime.
Okay, like multiples. The goop.
Yeah, yes. Little goo creatures.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like in Dragon Quest. Dragon Quest 8 is actually what endeared me to slime monsters. And the ones in Stardew are similar. Little glooby gloobs.
Yeah, you know, creatures owe the goo. So, Chanel, how the hell is it hanging?
It's rough. I have had so much anxiety. I'm ready for this to be over. And yeah, not much else going on. Just actually playing Animal Crossing, because I think I'm the only one still who has not played Stardew Valley.
Yeah, let's put a pin in that Animal Crossing thing, because I think that's going to be a topic of conversation that we have while John either poops, watches, provides color commentary, asks questions. I don't know.
Yeah.
Joe, how the hell is it hanging?
I mean, my quarantine is not as bad as it could be because I am not alone and I'm here trapped in our home with the love of my life, my beautiful wife, Quinn Welsh Wilson. I am so goddamn burnt out, though, because my work went from getting like roughly 600 some odd emails a week to getting like 1300 emails a week. And so we're getting more than twice as many emails as usual. I work in online education for people who don't know. And we are getting like more than three times the usual amount of enrollments. And I do a lot of the orders space and a lot of the informational space. this. And so my brain is going to explode. And I'm queer, and so I sit like a gremlin.
Yeah. And for those of you curious, Joe is the person who's answering the bulk of those emails.
Yeah, it's great every time my bosses are like, look at our analytics. And I'm like, oh, look, I answered 400 of 600 emails. Everything is fine.
Y'all need to cap that, like, all right, we don't have any more virtual desks. We're absolutely full.
We're actually like in the process of trying to hire someone during all of this hot garbage nonsense.
Just to answer emails or?
Well, we were already looking for a person because I was previously operating at capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some days where I was actually needing to like hand off duties to other people in the other departments that like I work with. And so we were already looking for somebody new, and this kind of just highlighted how much we needed somebody new. I'm fortunate that one of my supervisors, I thought that she was really mad at me, but she was actually mad at my other supervisor. And she was like, I'm not mad at you. I know how much work you do. You should not be doing all of the stuff that you're having to do. Your other supervisor needs to be picking up some. Because I work in a fun place where I overlap two different like department things, and one of them is great, and one of them provides a lot of like frustration. And fortunately, the person we're looking to hire is going to be covering the part that causes a lot of frustration, which is probably really boring stuff for listeners to listen to, but stuff that I would tell my friends, which is everyone who is currently on this call live. So listeners, I'm sorry, my work is very boring. It's really stressful. And I've been working overtime every day since this started.
Yeah. Listeners, we're sorry. You've now just become Josette's best friend.
Yeah. And here's the thing. As someone who lives with Joe and who loves Joe and wants to see Joe taken care of, one of the pitfalls of working at home, working from home, can be that you forget to do really basic things, like take breaks. And you don't have a lot of those small social breaks, you know, like chatting with a coworker or whatever. I got Joe to take a break today, but it was only because they were so burnt out that they couldn't keep going on. So, you know, I'm trying my best to make sure that they're not burning themselves out too badly, but it is what it is. How's that Animal Crossing been treating you, Joe?
Bunny Day is stupid, and I don't understand what I'm supposed to do with all these cherry blossom petals, but I'm going to catch them all.
Yeah. As for me, I've been doing all right. Again, nice to be here with Joe. That's nice. Being in Zoom meetings all the time is draining.
Yeah.
Do not care for that. And I've decided to take this time that I have, all this extra time, when I'm still struggling to be productive, to, as I'm playing Animal Crossing, watch my way through One Piece, which, for those of you who don't know, is more than 900 episodes long.
It's a bit much.
It's also about 900 chapters long, and chapters go down a lot easier. And Eiichiro Oda, the guy who writes it, is an incredibly talented draftsperson. As a comics artist, he's incredible. However, I can't be on my Animal Crossing island and read it at the same time, so I'm watching the anime. That's fun. That's a good time. But it is a lot, and I'm starting to recognize the weight of my undertaking in some respects. As I'm approaching episode 100, I'm like, there's like 8 more of these, huh?
You're a ninth of the way there.
Hey, I'm all caught up on the manga, so really Quinn just needs to step it up.
Yeah. So that's sort of how I've been doing. I'm enjoying Animal Crossing a lot. I'm getting closer and closer to getting KK Slider to come visit my town.
Yay!
I do notice that, like, every couple of times that I load up Animal Crossing, I then load up Stardew Valley and I play a day in Stardew Valley, which I think that is not how most people are approaching them. I think that it's a matter of, like, playing one and then the other, or at this point, like, just playing Animal Crossing, really. But occasionally, like, I'll boot up my Switch and I see Stardew Valley there and I'm like,
ooh.
Yeah, I don't want to fuck with my neighbors today. I would like to just water my plants.
Yeah, for me, I'm so close to the end in my Stardew Valley file. Like, I think I'm in my winter of my second year. So, like, Grandpa's about to come back to life from the grave or whatever.
Oh, my God,
tell
spoilers.
Me that my farm's an awful piece of shit and that I disappointed him. And why didn't I get married? And so I actually have a lot of anxiety about getting back into playing Stardew, especially because I reached a point where there was, like, nothing for me to do. I had run out of tasks. And so it's just kind of twiddling my thumbs, but not having enough energy to, like, figure out what all of the people in my town liked and to give that to them as gifts. So I've been sitting a lot with the Animal Crossing and Animal Crossing check-in. What's everyone's fruit? And who's everyone's favorite villager that lives with them right now?
I have apples and...
boring.
Yeah.
You're
pretty boring. Pretty boring. Am I... I guess the elephant... I don't know its name by now. The elephant that works out a lot, he gives me a lot of gifts. So, but they're kind of, right now, there haven't been good gifts. They're like, here, have a children's slide. Here, have a lantern that we all got at the beginning of the game, and I know we all got it.
I had that happen to me, too.
Now. Yeah. Every three. So, either way, he still gives me stuff, so I like it.
I feel you there. I've got an anteater jock named Antonio.
Ooh, nice.
Who's been giving me a lot of gifts. And sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But Antonio, for some reason, won't stop giving me gifts. Like, every day. Every day it's like, hey, Quinn,
no,
Quinn, I got another gift for you. And it's like, okay, you can cool it. But then I had another person walk up to me. I think one of my, like, fancier villagers walked up to me and said, oh, Quinn, I heard that you're trying to get KK Slider to come to town.
No.
Wouldn't
shit.
That be wonderful? Well, you know, I'm such a big fan of KK, and I know you're trying to beautify the island a little bit, so here's a little gift I think KK might really like. And she gave me a fucking garbage can.
Yeah, this is where KK wants to put every single request that we give.
Yeah, and it's like, ow, Jesus. Fucking burned. Joe, how about your town?
So my fruit is peaches, and I have everything except for cherries growing on my town now. So
I have
exciting.
Cherries if you want. I am willing to.
I need to figure out how to friend people, because right now Quinn is my only friend, and I guess I did that by accident because I literally went to Natai's island and could not figure out how to friend Natai.
That's my brother, for those of you listening at home.
You have to be friends on the Switch, like with the code.
Oh, so you have to be friends on the Switch first.
Or you can do, if you both happen to be in the same room, you can say local, like you want to do local visitors. Mm-hmm. Ha, local. And then...
for those of you who might be thinking about playing with some local visitors in Animal Crossing right now, if you haven't been with those people for the last couple of weeks, fucking don't.
And you just leave your gates open and say that you want visitors.
No, like, I made it to Natai's island, but I couldn't friend Natai the way that I friended Quinn. Because, like, you can mail shit to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
I can't mail stuff to Natai.
Yeah, there's some arcane sorcery that, like, is preventing them from sending a request. Like, go into the Best Friends app, and you can't send... Natai a friend request. It's strange.
Yeah, and it's like, you need to play with people in order to send them friend requests. And I was like, motherfuckers, I was literally there. But anyways, we'll have to figure that out. I would love to see your island and bring you something that maybe you don't have.
I'm in the market for anyone, if anyone hears this, I'm in the market for a bed.
Oh, I can make you a bed.
Well, I don't want to make one. I want one that's cool, but I have a cool bed to trade. It's just not my style.
Yeah,
if you happen to see it now, I'll give you bills.
I have a race car bed.
I sleep in a big bed with my wife.
Up until recently, I was sleeping on the default cot because I haven't come across any beds. Tommy and Timmy, they need to step it up. I haven't bought shit from them. They never sell goods that are worth buying.
No, they don't. And it's really expensive. And they have like three items at a time. And it's like, no, buddy, this is not doing it. I gotta wait a whole fucking day.
It's ridiculous. And then finally the egg day event comes.
Oh, God.
And they're like, you can make an egg day bed. And I'm like, I guess it's better than a cot.
It's an egg carton. You're sleeping in an egg carton.
I'm sleeping in eggs. But my village, our fruit is oranges. And I think that my favorite villager is probably a tie between my two most recent villagers, because I kind of let a bunch of riffraff in at the start. Just anytime I met someone on an island, I would be like, hey, come move to my village. And then I kind of hit capacity. I was like, oh, I guess that was kind of a bad move. So now I have expanded my ability to get villagers. And I have Zell, who is a gazelle, a fashionable little gazelle,
aww,
who has modeled his house to look like a fancy uptown apartment, like overlooking a city skyline.
Ooh.
And his catchphrase is pronk, which is very cute.
Wait. Is it one of y'all that has the little mouse?
The little mouse?
I have squirrels.
Hmm. Like, oh, there's a little mouse who's like a New York mouse.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
He seems like Randy him, or something. Though.
Yeah.
I think.
He's like, yeah, would be a shame if someone were to steal that trash can, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have anybody like that. I kind of wish that I did. My second pick for favorite villager is a little duck named Scoot, and he's a jock, and he's dressed like he plays professional hockey. Like, he's wearing like a, actually, maybe it's football. He's wearing like a little leather helmet, and he's waddling around.
Could be rugby.
Yeah, but his name's Scoot, and that's great.
Scoot.
I forgot. My favorite villager right now is Agent S. I don't know. They're a squirrel, and they dress in blue, and their little catchphrase is sidekick, and so when they greet me, they say, what's up, sidekick?
Aw, that's cute.
Yeah, and they're really cute, and I like them, and they're always happy to see me.
But who wants to be a sidekick?
Me. I don't usually want to be a hero, because that means that I have to take, like, the spotlight, and I would rather just
But
not.
They also just assumed that you want to be a sidekick. They didn't say anything. They weren't like, hey, is it cool if you're the sidekick and I just play hero or the agent?
I feel Agent S and I have an understanding, and they could tell. They were like, Joe likes to sit back. It's okay. They listened to our podcast, Arms of the Tide, and could tell that sometimes I just lean back and let other people do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like that would not fly. And if I saw that go down, like, hey, 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 you don't get to assume that.
Yeah.
All right, John, it's your time to shine. What is your booming crop right now? Like, what's your number one crop? And who do you have the best relationship with in Pelican Town?
Well, right now it is fall of the second year. And my greenhouse is just starfruit forever.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And then because it's fall, I have an ass load of pumpkins.
Ooh, you get a giant pumpkin yet?
I have not gotten any giant anything, and it's very sad.
It's funny because I like those. What happens, listeners, is you plant like a 9x9 square of the same kind of vegetable. There's like 4 or 5 vegetables that can do this.
It's a 3x3.
Oh, a 3x3. Did I say 5x5?
You said 9x9.
You know, when I said 9x9, I guess it's because I was thinking 3 times 3 equals 9, so obviously.
I just like, if they make a 9x9, it might happen. I just don't want them doing all that work.
Yeah, no. I have bad math brain. So it's a 3x3 square, and sometimes you'll just wake up in the morning, and it will be one giant vegetable sitting there. And you take out your axe and you hack it to pieces, and it explodes pinata-like with a million smaller fruits or vegetables.
Nice.
So yeah, who are you getting on with in town right now?
Abigail, he has pumpkins.
Oh, well, Abigail is who I married in my first game.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm dating everyone else.
Do it.
Yeah. So there's actually a scene you get if you are dating literally all of the ladies where they're like, we need to have an intervention, and they call you into a house and all of them are there. And they'll just be like, yo, what the fuck? Why are you dating all of us? And then for a week, they'll all give you the cold shoulder. They won't accept gifts. They'll be like, fuck you, buddy. But if you have a lucky rabbit's foot on you when the meeting happens, then they just gossip about Lewis and Marnie, and then that's it.
Holy shit.
So the trick to polyamory is a lucky rabbit's foot.
Yeah, you got to cut off a rabbit's foot, or actually have a rabbit go cut off one of his brethren's feet for you.
And are you playing on PC, John?
I am.
Are you using any mods?
I haven't downloaded any mods, but I have cheated slightly just with there's a hack for the item codes in the game where the big one is if you name yourself one of the items, up to three of them, actually, anytime someone says your name, you get those items.
Huh.
But you can do it as a one-off whenever you buy an animal. You can name it like brackets 161, and then when Marnie gives the animal to you, she says the name, and then you get that item. So if you're like, oh, I can't seem to find like a dinosaur egg or an ancient seed or whatever, you can do that.
Huh.
Yeah. So I've slightly cheated on that just because there are several things I haven't been able to find.
Very disappointed you did not download the JO schedule mod. Which is, for some reason, a thing that exists in Stardew Valley.
Wowzers. I know that they have a Battle Royale mod for Stardew Valley, which is something else.
Interesting.
Sometimes yeah. You just gotta kill a villager. Or
well, I mean, I think it's just like, you start an online game and be like, everyone come to my farm, and then you're like, it's fucking go o'clock.
Is that like the Purge mod for GTA 5?
Probably.
I've only ever seen it. I've never actually done it.
Yeah, I imagine it's probably same energy.
Nice.
So now that we've spent a couple minutes here talking about how we're doing, what's up with video games, we asked listeners on Twitter to send us some questions, and we're going to answer some of those questions. So like, let's, I guess, get going and see how that goes. If we want to introduce rules or a structure, those will be extemporaneous, but those rules will then be ironclad once we introduce them. So be on the lookout for those. The first set of questions, actually, we have is from my buddy Jace, Medicare for All Now on Twitter, at the second dork. Which member of the cast has tried slash would be most likely to walk through a Taco Bell drive-thru?
I also have.
John. Yeah, it's John.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, John and Chanel.
That's half the cast.
Now, did you actually get them to give you food, though, when you did that?
No. They said go back around.
Aha! Winner is me. Yeah, back in my hooligan high school days.
It was in elementary school. So my hoodlum elementary
Oh, Chanel has you beat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, John. Chanel might not have gotten food, but she has you beat in
yeah,
this
those
story.
Baby con days.
Oh, with the cinnamon twists and cheesy fiesta potatoes.
Yeah, but I mean, having a drive through at like midnight and just no one's around and five just of the nerdiest teenagers you've ever seen show up and like, I would like a chalupa, please. And they're like, whatever, I don't give a shit.
Whatever you want, kid.
All right, dork. You're lucky you're on the other side of this window or I'd give you a wedgie.
Get out of here, nerd.
So, second question from Jace. Which member of the cast has, slash would, be most likely to inhale and regurgitate an uncooked hot dog?
Definitely
John?
Not me. I don't like hot dogs because he gets heartburn.
Well, I can't eat most hot dogs, so not me.
Well, you inhale and then you regurgitate it.
That means
it doesn't sit in the stomach.
Throw it.
Yeah.
Boom.
I don't want to do that.
Look. I say it's probably an easy tie between me and John. And the question is, do I feel like flexing? Or does John have some motivation that's driving him to do it?
John did it on a dare, hypothetically.
Right. And I would do it if I was just trying to flex.
You never try to flex, so.
A couple more questions here from Jace. Which member of the cast has slash would be most likely to spill a comically large bowl of snacks whilst sitting on their couch or reclining chair?
Wait, can you read that question again?
Joe.
Yeah, I was like, John is going to out me for this.
It's 1,000% Joe.
I actually have thoughts on that, so we'll get to that in a second. Which member of the cast has slash would be most likely to spill a comically large bowl of snacks whilst sitting on their couch or reclining chair? So I think this is another 50-50 situation between me and Joe. If we're equally alert, it's probably me. I'm kind of clumsy.
Oh, but if we're hosting, it's definitely not me. I'm always on point if hosting. Right.
So if we're equally alert, like if we're both awake, I'm going to be the one who fucks up. If we're tired.
Oh, God.
Joe gets drunk. We've talked about this on this segment before. Joe starts acting like a sloppy drunk. They would spill and they would cry.
I would probably cry in the spilled food.
Just lie down on the floor, still putting little pieces of snack in your mouth.
I live here now.
This is my messing house.
Yep. That's my catchphrase. Oh, God.
All right. Next question. Which member of the cast has/would, interesting framing here, once I get to the end of this question, because it implies that one of us might have done this already, be most likely to star in a live-action remake of the 2001 animated movie Osmosis Jones?
You know what? I have a little fact here. Ever since I saw that movie, I think I was in seventh grade or perhaps before, I always thought of, like, when you drink water, it's good for you. But the little beings, the people who are water in Osmosis Jones style, maybe I thought about this before Osmosis Jones. Anyway, they're scrubbing bubbles. They're Mr. Scrub. And then they just scrub the inside of your bladder. And I think that's how I tricked myself into really liking water.
Interesting. Hmm. Because you know what's actually a more accurate description for what does that to you? Is fiber. Fiber does that to the inside of your digestive tract, which is why it makes you shit
just
so
like,
much.
It makes you have to pee, and it like pushes all those things out. Like, so, you know, when you have to, you judge on how much water you have to drink by with the color of your pee. Hot take if anyone
is
still alive and hasn't realized that.
Yeah, no, if you're your urine is sitting in like that dark yellow, God
need
forbid,
water.
Orange range.
You should drink it so they can scrub. Yeah.
Scrub that out. It's probably going to stink
so
to high
water
hell.
And apples.
To answer the question, I think that John would be the only person who was of age to be like in that movie.
Well, it's about a remake.
It's a cartoon with.
In a remake.
What's his name? Okay.
Bill Murray
Rock,
is in it. And Chris Rock.
And I have never seen it.
You haven't?
No.
Here's a fun thing. Osmosis Jones is actually like a 40-60% split between live action and animation. The Bill Murray stuff is all live action. He does nasty shit like eat an egg off the ground in the zoo.
Mm-hmm. You know, like
and
you do.
All the other stuff, all the inside his body stuff is animated. So if we're going to go for a live action remake here, I propose that we actually just flip it. So it's a cartoon Bill Murray type. And then inside of him is a live action Osmosis Jones.
You mean with like CGI? With like CGI? Or it's just really bad costumes?
All practical effects.
Okay.
All practical effects. You know, bring the guys from Jim Henson's like Industrial Light and Magic and whatever. Really, really get those costumes popping. Okay.
But who would be in it?
I don't know. I've seen the movie. Like, We could all. I mean, there's a lot of roles.
There you go, Jace. All of us. All of us would be in.
I feel like John would be the real life person that we are looking at. We're working inside of.
John, you do eat the weirdest stuff because you and Jeff literally have a who eats this shit. So.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fine. I'll be the voice of cartoon Bill Murray.
You're basically Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're just everyone else.
All right. Yeah. The rest of us will be on the inside.
The live action.
The live action inside with the practical effects. So which member of the cast has/would be most likely to fill a sleeping cast member's hand with whipped cream and then tickle their nose with a feather, causing them to slap themselves with a handful of whipped cream?
Yeah, 100%. But I would also feel bad about it in case that person was like crying when they woke up. So sometimes I second guess my pranks nowadays.
Yeah, understandably, but it's still 100% you. There's no question about that.
Got him!
And this question, I think, is interesting. Which member of the cast has/would be most likely to leave on the seen at notification on their phone messages?
Oh, I have mine on for that reason.
Okay. I think the answer then is Chanel. I don't think I even have the opportunity to have seen at. And, like, I wouldn't. That gives me so much anxiety to just be like, wait, why aren't you answering?
I did it for a specific person/reason, but that was like years ago. So now I kind of just like, I'm very crafty about it. So I'll just like leave people's messages in like the notification center so it doesn't look like it's been read. So if I'm not ready to answer I can just leave it there and it doesn't look like I just looked at it and didn't finish it.
Hell yeah.
Admit that's the technology. That sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
You like it pops up, you get like a push notification, you're like, I get the gist of this. And the answer is not now. And then like 8 days later you respond, you're like, oh, sorry, I didn't see that. And it's like,
I know you did.
I kind of didn't. I saw like the first five words.
Yeah. But also a lot of my friends don't have iPhone. Like Spencer has a Google Pixel. So doesn't matter if I try to leave him on red.
Same.
Like, be like, yeah, I saw that, but I'm not responding. Doesn't matter, because...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I also want to say I have gotten better about, like, that anxiety about, like, the CNET stuff. But I just, I don't want to tempt those demons. So I leave it off. So here's some questions from Tyler Beckett, at TylerBeckett4 on Twitter. What's the cast's favorite underappreciated media?
Interpretive dance?
Do you actually like interpretive dance, or are you just messing?
Oh, I'm just messing.
Okay.
I'm merely jacoking.
Initially...
You know John's motto, ABM, always be messing.
Initially, I thought that meant, like, underappreciated social media. So that meant, like, I don't know, Pinterest?
Let me tell you about Mastodon.
I would say mixed media. Like, when people are using, like, charcoal and paint. And my sister used to be really fond of when I would take the... I guess I have to do a little bit of explanation with this. My family used to not literally flip houses, but basically. And I would take a bunch of the junk parts, like the old things that were being replaced, like the door hinges and the doorknobs and stuff. And I would incorporate those in Canvas with like paint and other materials. And I don't really see a lot of that around anymore. And so I would say, I'm sure that there's like a specific thing where it's like lost things mixed media or something. Yeah.
There's a lot of the found art stuff.
Yeah, found art.
Yeah.
So I'm going to answer the question as I understand it, which is like, what's like a show or a song or a band?
Oh God.
Which it doesn't have to be. I think Joe's answer is great. My answer is unequivocally every time Hot Rod 2007.
It is.
It's an excellent movie. It's a fucking masterpiece.
Recently, Spencer got upset that I swindled everyone at our friend's house. Not recently, I would say like 2 months ago, pre-virus. Yeah.
Before all this.
Everyone wanted to watch Parasite. Great movie. Fantastic. It's also really long. And I said, hey, what? When did they put Hot Rod on Netflix? I knew it was already on there. I said, Spencer hasn't seen it. I think we should all watch it. Like, now's a perfect time. So I got everyone to watch Hot Rod instead of Parasite. And Spencer didn't like it.
What?
I know. He's like, wow, this was way better than Parasite.
I'm sorry. I also think that Bong Joon-ho would respect the flex. I think that if you had watched Parasite, you really would have appreciated the scene where the family from Parasite forces the rich family to watch Hot Rod 2007 uninterrupted to its conclusion.
But yeah, I agree. Hot Rod's fantastic. Good choice.
John, do you have an actual thing?
I mean, not really. Y'all just do whatever. I ain't here to tell you how to live your life.
John's favorite underappreciated art is weird food, like cherry Coca-Cola Oreos and the Cheeto-covered turkey stuffed with Velveeta and potatoes.
Man, anytime any restaurant or brand has some dumb garbage that they want to pawn off on people. I love that shit so much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's your favorite underappreciated media, because like food is an art and media is art. Art is media. Mm-hmm. I'm so burnt out. I'm surprised I haven't started shouting banana repeatedly. That's what's just playing in my head as this goes on. It's just banana, 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 banana. And I don't want a banana. That's just what my brain does.
I am a banana. I'm a banana.
So I think that's a good answer for John. I think that rings true.
Chanel, did you have one besides Hot Rod?
See, I underappreciated.
What about that video you shared with the women who threw the makeup to each other and it would go through and like, because I think that honestly deserves way more like likes and attention than it's gotten.
Well, I mean,
gotten.
There's a bunch of them that are going around. Okay. But I mean, I think that is fantastic because I did see one about like doctors, like they were all like African female doctors and they did that. And I was like, hell yeah, you can have your cake and eat it too kind of thing. So I thought that is cool. I don't know. I guess that isn't art, but I think, I don't know.
You know what is art, though? I don't see that dog.
I was going to say that, yes. Get up in that dog.
I don't feed that dog.
Get up in that dog. The last time we were all together, for those of you who haven't seen that video, Chanel shared a video with the ARMS crew of a kid saying that he wanted to pet the dog, and he was told, no, you have to go to bed, and he said that he can't go to bed until he pets that dog.
It was adorable.
It's really, really cute.
And it's a brain worm.
Definitely a brain worm.
All right, so next question, from Tyler as well. What is the pettiest hill you will die on?
Too many.
The Oxford comma?
I don't care.
I do.
I don't. I'm going to not use it just for you now.
How dare you?
I love you, oxes and oxes.
All right, Joe, what's one of yours?
Banana.
No. No, the banana thing is actually a weird personal thing that maybe someday I'll go into. I don't know, like, you know better than I do what petty hill I die in. I don't know. I get this thing in my head where, oh God, I get competitive about weird things and then I won't budge as like a form of competition of like, I will die on this hill harder and better than you would die on this hill. And like, to me, those are very petty things. I guess like, devil's advocates, like if someone's being like, I'm gonna play the devil's advocate, I'm like, okay, douchebag, I will play this fucking game with you and I will die on this goddamn hill.
That's very fair.
I have a friend who used to do that, and then finally I was like, why are you defending them? They're not here. Like, do you agree with this? No, but I think that like that side should be represented. Why? Like, what does the conversation gain by you and me hashing out what somebody who isn't here thinks about it? It was a very odd thing, because like it was non-recorded. It was just like a call with my friend, and it took us so long to finally get somewhere. And then they went home and they talked to their partner and they came back and they were like, so apparently my partner also thought that that was really annoying. And so I talked to some other people who also said it was annoying. So I'm going to try not do that. And I was like, good. So people playing devil's advocate is the petty hill I'll die on.
Okay. Do you have one on top of mind, Chanel?
I see. When I heard a devil's advocate, or not devil's advocate, petty hill, I was thinking like when people don't invite you to a party, but somebody else you know is inviting you and they've been invited, but you both know the same person whose party it is, I won't go to that party no matter what, unless that person originally invited me initially. I don't like being a secondhand thought. Mm. And if I am, I refuse to go. I would rather sit at home.
I think that's super fair.
And entertain myself while all my friends are at the same party, if I was not invited. Also, if you said something once to me, like, I had a friend who had a slip up and she said something like racist, and I was kind of like, I don't like that, and I told her, and then she apologized a bunch of times, blah blah blah, and then now forever, like, I can't, like, I'll never let that go. Like, I hold on to that stuff to, like, my grave.
I mean, to be fair, I don't know that that's a petty hill.
Yeah,
that was racism, Chanel. That petty hill racism.
I don't let shit go.
You don't have
on multiple
to,
levels.
You know, like, yeah.
Okay. And for mine is
Diet Dr. Pepper does not taste like regular Dr. Pepper.
No, it doesn't. But mine is horse fuck
yeah.
off.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so we've been going for a hot minute here. So I'm going to sort of truncate some of these questions, you know, skip around a little bit. Not everyone who asked a question, unfortunately, is going to get an answer. So moving on to a question from Alice Lily Kira at Magical Ghoul Kira on Twitter. What is the most cursed food to put peanut butter on?
I like peanut butter on basically everything that I can eat. I'm having trouble thinking of a thing that I don't like peanut butter on.
Pizza, mashed potatoes.
I like peanut butter in both of those things.
I'll say it. Kimchi.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't put peanut butter in kimchi. Yeah, I think that's the one thing. But I've done peanut butter in rice.
That's the thing.
I've done it in my mashed potatoes. I don't know if I would do it with my mashed potatoes, like, again. Depending on the ice cream flavor, I've done it in ice cream. I'll do it in my hot chocolate. I'll do it with fish sometimes, depending on how the fish is cooked.
I mean, I'll always go to bat for peanut butter on a hamburger because that shit's delicious.
I can't eat hamburgers.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying it has to be for you.
I know.
Not everything's about you, Joe.
I was about to say everything revolves around me, so it's hilarious that that's what you said. I don't know. I like peanut butter. I don't eat as much of it as I used to.
Anything else cursed for peanut butter on?
Well, I said my two cents. I don't think I would ever want peanut butter on my mashed potatoes or pizza. I also can't eat peanut butter like I used to, so.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts, John?
You know, I'm thinking, like, it really goes well with both sweet and savory. I feel like peanut butter on anything that's bitter would not be good.
Yeah, you got to get in that bitter, sour sort of zone.
Yeah.
If you want to start.
Like, I don't think lemon and peanut butter is a taste sensation.
Challenge accepted.
Now, you give me a lemon peanut butter cookie, I'll eat that shit.
Yeah, that was actually what I was thinking. Fine, John. Questions from Lilith.
Yes, we got some questions here from Lilith Penrod at Cheerio Buffet. There's a couple here. So how do centaurs wear pants?
They don't.
Yeah.
I think mostly they don't.
They're pretty much just ass out.
Yeah. If they were, I feel like I believe it would go on the back end. Like, if a horse were to wear pants.
But, like, how do they get them on? Because, like, I don't think that their arms can reach their back legs.
You're obviously, if you're going to be putting clothes on them, you got some assistance from someone else. Another centaur comes up, they back it up into the pants.
See, I think that it should just be on the front two legs if they were to wear them. And then, like, they would have a belt or something to hold it.
But doesn't that defeat the purpose of pants?
Because that ain't covering the butt.
No, I mean, not in the front ones.
Is that the purpose of pants?
Protect your privates.
Purpose of pants is to cover the butt.
Are they pants if they don't cover the ane and jennies?
Nah, then they just chaps.
Oh, well.
Are there acid chaps?
These assed chaps are pants.
Okay. So I think we answered that question definitively. What's up with the birds?
Can't stand them.
They're not real.
Show me a bird. I've never seen a dang bird in my life. Haha, stupid.
I think they're hanging in there like the rest of us.
I think they're thriving right now.
Yo, I had a crane walk across our yard the other day. Those motherfuckers are tall. tall. Like, that bird's as tall as I am.
I cannot believe the wildlife is coming back.
We should all be scared. I feel bad for everyone in Florida.
Oh, speaking of which.
I mean, I generally feel bad for everyone in Florida.
Speaking of Florida, we've been watching Tiger King and whoo!
Oh, was that in Florida? I refuse to watch it. I heard there's animal abuse.
Some of it's in Florida. It's got big Florida energy, is what I mean, would say.
About Joe Exotic is Florida man.
Ugh. Yeah. Anyway, damn, I had something and then I lost it.
Dag.
We were talking about animals thriving now that we're not around. Birds.
But the birds, because the question was about birds.
Yeah.
And you said, someone said that they were scared.
Yeah, I lost it. I lost it. It's fine. It's gone.
We were probably going towards eco-terrorism, but...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was poking fun at eco-fascists for a second there. Okay, so here's some questions from Richard Kreutz Landry at rkreutz Landry on Twitter. What color of M&Ms is the best?
Blue.
I like green.
I like green because the green M&M is trans.
Yeah. And boots. Green M&M wears boots. Also... Blue and red remind me that there should be a color of taste associated with it, I feel like. And it doesn't correlate. Mm. Like, there's no cherry outside flavoring of an M&M.
Yeah, that's why it's just the brown M&M.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true, too. That's how you know it's an M&M if it's brown. No brown Skittles.
If you find the brown Skittle, you goofed.
Don't eat it. That's not a candy.
Don't eat the brown Skittles. There has never been a bigger betrayal for Joe than when they changed out the green Skittles.
Oh, lime for apple can bite a fart.
Thank
you. It sucks.
You.
It sucks. They
already
had lemon. They're different flavors. They're different flavors, okay? They're different flavors. Different flavors.
Now, if you get the Skittles, I forget what it's called. It's like After Dark or something like that. It is a different, it's the same colors, but with different flavors, and that's where you can find the lime.
You gotta go in the back door.
So you have to get horny Skittles?
Yeah.
I saw a weird thing of Skittles, and I was like, well, I gotta try this. And I was like, oh, hey, look, they put lime in here.
Hey, lime's back.
Remember Sour Skittles? Are those still around?
Yeah, they're still around. The green one is also apple, which was how I found out. That was what made it the biggest betrayal, because I am not a huge fan of apple, and I am a big fan of lime, and so it was fantastic. I saved all of the green Skittles for the end, because I didn't know there had been a change, and I'm one of those dweebs who saves their favorite thing for the last, and I popped a few in my mouth and immediately spat them out. I was like, pop, chew, bleh, because it tasted nothing like a lime Skittle, and I was really concerned about what just happened.
That is rough. I think sour Skittles are strange. Like, I like sour Skittles, but when I was young especially, they're different than a lot of other sour candies. Like, whatever it is, the sour coating that they put on them is so chunky and sharp that I would, like, rip my gums apart as a child trying to suck on them.
Definitely. That's why I often went to Zowers, which was like the sour version of a Mike and Ike. Which is also yummy.
Yeah. I haven't had Mike and Ikes in a while. That sounds nice. I also haven't had bottle caps in a while. Damn, I love bottle caps.
Oh, they kind of remind me of Tums now, so I kind of...
I mean, I will say this. I had the new, like, Coke energy drink, and it straight up just tastes like liquid bottle caps.
Huh.
Like the Coke bottle cap or all of them?
It's very weird. Like the Coke bottle cap or the cherry Coke bottle cap.
A cherry or Coke and a cherry bottle cap?
No, there's the cherry Coke bottle cap.
Oh, there is?
And there's a cherry Coke energy drink as well. They have it in regular and cherry.
So here's the thing for me. I don't think that I would want to drink something that tasted like bottle caps. There's something about that, like, talcum powder experience.
Oh, yeah.
In eating a bottle cap that I actually love and that I crave. I just can't get enough of that shit.
Do you like Smarties?
Start honking
also?
Like a fucking goose. Smarties are okay. Smarties are okay.
Sweet Tarts?
Sweet Tarts I have a strained relationship with.
Do tell.
Sweet Tarts and I are on the outs.
So, here's the thing. One time it was early into my relationship with Joe, I think, and I wound up eating a bad burrito at some point. I got food poisoning. But the thing that I ate right before I got the food poisoning, it wasn't the burrito. It was a bag of chewy sweet tarts.
That'll do it. You get that association.
Yeah, exactly. So I've got the association. I also tried to watch Arrow for the first time during that period. And so I also got that association with Arrow. I was like, sweet tarts and Arrow can fuck off.
Now, every time I see Stephen Amell, I'm like,
you want to give me another bug and you want me to tell you about it?
Poor Blathers.
Do your damn job, Blathers.
Shut the fuck up, Blathers. Take the fucking bugs.
And move on.
Don't editorialize. You're a scientist. Richard also asks, best burger you've ever had?
Ooh, baby.
I think it actually is one that had peanut butter on it for me.
Oh, nice. Tell us about it. What's up with that burger?
So here in San Diego, there is the, what is it? The Corvette Cafe?
Still around.
Corvette Diner.
Corvette Diner. Oh, still around. They moved from where they were.
It's in Liberty Station.
Isn't that one of those restaurants where you go there and they tell you that you stink like piss?
No, they throw bubble gum at you.
No, they do throw straws at you.
And straws, yeah, bazooka.
Okay, that's slightly better.
Yeah, no, they're not insulting.
Like, oh, you piss man, you smell like stinky shit. That's what do you want, you piss? But I also don't want to get straws thrown at me, Jesus.
Well, I mean, it's not thrown at you. It's just sort of thrown generically in your direction.
Okay. So what's this Corvette Diner bingo bugger burger?
They've got a peanut butter burger, and it's real good. It is the first place that I ever had peanut butter on a burger was there. And I compare all the other burgers with peanut butter on them to that burger.
You might have to treat yourself to another one.
Treat yourself. Once this is all over.
It's going to be the first place you go.
I'll be like, Corvette Diner. What
How the hell are
you? Still
you?
In business?
Table for one.
It's just a table for one. Me.
Just me, please.
Just me, please.
Hey, I'm here. Before you ask, it's just me. I see that look in your eyes, don't you? It's not that gross.
Look, you can see that I've got a book in my hand. Obviously, I'm here by myself.
My headphones are in. Yeah, I'm here alone. Now, throw the fucking straws at me and get it over with.
And just know, I want a peanut butter burger.
Burger.
For me, this is a burger that has unfortunately been discontinued.
Hmm.
There is a restaurant pretty close to where I live that used to be very good called Soda and Swine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey.
And they used to have this jalapeno burger. It was like a white cheese on the burger. And then they topped it in fried jalapeno, ooh, like coins. So like they were like these little sliced pieces of jalapeno that had been battered and fried. The meat they were using was like next level delicious. And it was a really, really solid one. The whole experience tied together. Love that shit. They discontinued it and like they started focusing on the other stuff on their menu, which just wasn't, in my opinion, as strong. And so unfortunately, I don't really go as much anymore because they don't have something that can just blast my toes off my ass every time I try to eat.
Maybe you could ask them if they would make it for you anyway.
I tried one time. And they did, but it was tiny.
Aww.
It was they like, oh, here's a little baby version. And then the next time, they're like, we don't have any of the supplies for that anymore.
Frig off, Soda.
We no longer have meat.
So that sucked. But it was a great hamburger while it lasted. There's also a place here called Crazy Burger with two E's. And they do a nacho burger, which is a hamburger. And then they put some like pickled jalapenos on there, which is pretty good. And then they put that sloppy nacho cheese on there. And then they put hash browns on it. And that is a flavor combination.
Ooh, baby.
I go crazy for.
That sounds good.
I don't know what the best burger I've ever had is. I can't eat beef or pork or like red meats. And so I'm usually really limited.
Chicken sandwich. What's your best chicken sandwich you've had?
Probably almost anything I've had from Crack Shack has been a pretty good chicken sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Hey, folks, if you're listening and you're looking for some San Diego food recommends, We're knocking a lot of great stuff out of the park. Crack Shack is amazing.
Tell us
about one of those chicken sandwiches you've had from Crack Shack.
One of them has an egg. And one of them has cabbage. That's pretty good.
I like to imagine it's just an egg sitting next to the sandwich.
It has an egg. And that's what's next to it.
Yeah.
Little arms pop out and slap you on the wrist every time you try to touch the egg. That's my egg.
Yeah, so it has a fried egg on it that's usually served with the yolk just a little bit runny. There's one with pretty good cabbage on there.
Oh, pretty good cabbage.
Yeah, I like cabbage. And like sometimes you get cabbage from a place and you're like, this is so mediocre. Do you even know what cabbage is?
I know. We got to ask the best chicken sandwich you ever had. I just got pretty good cabbage.
Well, like, I don't know what the best burger that I've had is. Like, when I could still kind of eat beef without getting too sick, like, any burger that I could have without getting really sick was a good burger. And unfortunately, like, In-N-Out was one of the most consistent places that I could eat at and only be kind of sick from. And it, like, it wasn't a good burger. It was just a burger that didn't fuck me up. So, like, I don't know. It's been a very long time since I've eaten a good burger. I mean, there was the place that I ate from right before I got the stomach flu, which was great because I wrote off all of the symptoms of the stomach flu as just like, oh, I ate a burger. Of course, I'm nauseous and exhausted and feel like crap and like I'm dying and very feverish.
This is just what happens when you eat food, right?
But that was a good burger. I don't remember what it was called. I just remember that I can never eat them there again.
I can tell a good veggie burger that you might like, Joe. I don't know if you like veggie burgers.
I don't like veggie burgers. A lot of them use mushrooms or black beans, and I find black beans to be pretty dry, and I hate mushrooms. So, yeah, it's usually I make my own turkey burger. And, like, I'll make Juicy Lucy's, and, like, those usually are content. Those are the burgers where the cheese is on the inside, and so it, like, melts.
Ooh.
And it's, like, those are really...
So Chanel, what's a good burger for you?
Well, mine is actually the veggie burger. It's from Rock Bottom. I absolutely love it. And if I went for a regular burger, I like Habits burgers. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, Habits pretty good.
I kind of don't know if I like it better than In-N-Out, but I would say it has better flavor because I love those sauteed onions that are caramelized that they put on there because that's good. It's good shit.
All right. I think we've been going for about an hour now. So bring in the final round of questions here from Richard, who asked each of us individually a question. Who wants their question first?
Well, I just answered, so I feel like I shouldn't go.
John, Joe, which one of you?
Sure, I'll go.
Yeah. Go for it.
Joe, have you tried any new recipes lately?
No. You had a face like maybe I had.
No, I can't think of any new recipes you've tried lately.
No, I'm mostly cooking old favorites because comfort food is quarantine food. Like, I'm not going to be trying anything new. Like, I made chicken avocado. I made the sesame meatballs Quinn likes. I was going to make curry, but the produce that we got went bad, like, way too quickly. I had to use the avocados first and everything else went bad in the process. I haven't tried anything new, unfortunately.
Okay. Who next?
I go.
All right, John. What kind of milkshake is the best?
So I really like speaking of burgers, Annie's Burgers is great. Just that's another San Diego tip for you.
Oh, the one down in by the Target in Santee?
Oh, there's one by me. There's also one in Claremont.
Yeah, yeah. No, that shit, that's really good. That's really good.
Yeah. Now, one of my favorite things to get there is an Oreo caramel shake.
Ooh, sing to me.
It is so good. You get that nice burnt sugar flavor from the caramel, and then just the little crunchy bits from the Oreo. Absolutely love it. One of my favorites.
That's incredible. That's a very good one. Chanel, what's the song that's most recently been stuck in your head?
I haven't listened to any music lately. Which is sad, because I usually listen to music, a lot of music. I kind of always, in the back of my mind, always have that song from all those Javelina Run posts. But the top one is the song that goes, "Ain't nobody breaking my stride, I'm running and I won't touch ground.
Uh-oh.
I got to keep on moving. It's that one. So it's always in the back of my head.
Nice. That's a good one. And finally, a question for me. Quinn, what's your favorite video game at the moment? So I'm playing a lot of Animal Crossing. I'm thinking a lot about Yakuza, though. I am very close to the end of Yakuza 5, which is a great video game. But it's also got me thinking about how good Yakuza 0 is. And so I think I'm going to say Yakuza 0. I'm not playing it right now, but I'm thinking about it, which is almost as good. The Yakuza series in general is great. Animal Crossing, also great. I've also been playing some Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth, which is a lot of fun. But to give a singular answer, it would be Yakuza 0.
Fabulous.
Everybody, did you have a final note, a final message to send out there to the listeners?
Stay home.
Wash your hands.
Touch no one. Not even your loved ones, especially not your loved ones.
Why? If I wash my hands, can I touch my face and my cat?
My
you
face,
can touch your cat all you
my
want.
My cat.
Good. As long as you wash your cat.
He won't let me, so he has to have lots of brushes and we wipe him with cat wipes.
If your cat has hands, wash your cat's hands.
Wash your damn cat's hands.
All right. Any message for the listeners there, Chanel?
No. Just have fun.
All right.
Buy stuff online that's going to make you feel good about yourself when we all come out of this. Or don't, and save and hoard your money for whatever you have. And fuck landlords.
Hell yeah. Fuck landlords. I think we can all agree, fuck landlords. And my final message out to the listeners is apple and lime are different flavors. God damn it. Fuck landlords.